has a population of 1 billion people living in 53 different nations across the continent and its isles. But more than half of those nations are little known and barely get a mention in the world's media, except when a major disaster or war occurs there. In fact, many people would even have difficulty currently locating their whereabouts on a map of the continent. One of those African countries that rarely gets into that spotlight, despite its large size, is Chad, situated in the centre of the continent and whose capital is N'Djamena. Father Joaquin Therbide is a Spanish Jesuit priest who has worked with displaced people and refugees in Chad for the last 3 years. Before that, he lived and worked in Africa's Great Lakes region for over 3 decades. Father Therbide spoke to us about the history of instability and conflict that has blighted Chad in recent years.
For the last, let's say, 5 years, there's been a lot of trouble. Originally, it was trouble in Sudan, in Darfur. And the trouble or the violence was exported from Darfur into Chad. But at the same time, there is instability in Chad due to rebel groups who try to put away the president, Idriss Deby.
To overthrow
Idriss Deby. This is just a fight for power.
How difficult is it for humanitarian workers such as yourself to operate in Chad? What are the dangers you have to face?
Yeah, well, that's the question, is that on one side you have the Sudanese rebels in Chad trying to overthrow al-Bashir, the president of Sudan. On the other side of the border, of the Sudanese, you have Chadian rebels trying to overthrow the president. Then you have this banditry, because in the ethnic groups, you have a lot of, in the culture, if you like, you have a lot of violence. And the softest target are the humanitarians. We are the ones who say no weapons, we don't want war, and therefore we are not ready to carry a Kalashnikov. And this means that for the last 2, 3, 4 years, 150 cars were stolen from humanitarian agencies of the United Nations or NGOs. So we cried for help. And now for the last 2 years, we have the United Nations, an operation especially designed to protect the humanitarian work there in Chad.
But apart from stealing cars, do they also steal supplies? Do they physically attack the workers?
Thankfully, not until 2 years ago when Pascal, I can't remember now his family name, who was in charge of Save the Children, one of the biggest NGOs, was killed. And there was a change, because in that case, they went away with the car, but they killed the person. And this was the first time we realized that our lives were also in danger.
There are over 250,000 refugees in Chad who fled the conflict in Sudan's Darfur region, plus other internally displaced people. What's the situation like for these people? Can you paint us a picture?
Yeah. Now, the 250,000 Sudanese refugees, they are distributed into 12 different camps going along the border between Sudan and Chad. And they've been there now for 4 or 5 years, so their situation is like a big village, if you like, because they have free food, they have free hospitals, medical care, they have free schools, and they have time, if you like, to work. But they don't have work. That's the problem. They can't circulate, so they keep...
Are they subject, though, to sometimes violence from people who cross over the border? I mean, how safe
yes,
are they?
Yes, these you can have. Within the camps, there is this special security. At the beginning, it was the Chadian army, and now it is a special Chadian police. And you have security within the camps, the perimeter of the camp. Because outside the camp, we had to go with armed escort. If they circulate, they're in danger, yeah.
From who, exactly?
Bandits.
How many of these refugees, displaced people, have endured traumatic experiences? If so, can you share with us some of them?
That's the thing. Many of them.
Such as?
In the case, we have to distinguish between, you have the refugees who are Sudanese, and all those experiences were produced, if you like, 5, 6 years ago, 2003, in Darfur. Then you have the displaced, where you have something like 80,000 Chadian displaced. The events were much more recent. That was 2 years ago, last year. The villages were burnt. There were thefts of cattle. Women were raped. Children were taken away to become soldiers and things like that.
So are some of them still traumatized by this?
Yeah, I think they are.
But when it comes to the synod, Father Thierbide says its theme of reconciliation is one of the key pastoral challenges facing the church in Chad.
Our bishop, Monseigneur Henri Coudray, he was an apostolic prefect and now he will become a bishop next month in November. He was very, very good at this kind of respect we must have for the Muslim population. And I would say the big, big challenge for him as a bishop, for the Episcopal Conference in Chad, and for the bishops in general, or for the church in Africa, is this question of trying to promote peace, trying to obtain some kind of reconciliation, trying to mediate between the different factions, because unfortunately, we still have a lot of war in Sudan, in Chad, in Somalia, in the east of the Congo.
So what kind of message do you think the Catholics in Chad and in Africa as a whole would like to see emerge from this synod?
Well, let's try to live together as a family, this notion of the church as the family of God, as a family, brothers and sisters, when you have different ethnic groups, different religions, different races, rich and poor. Let's try to become a family.
What is the percentage of Catholics in Chad, do you know?
In Chad, I think 50%, half of the Chadian population is Muslim. Now, the other half, it's very difficult to distinguish. They say, well, 25% is Christian, not necessarily Catholic, and the other 25% is, I don't know, animist, African religions. Now, on that half of the Chadian population where the Christians are, the Christian population is growing, but the Muslim population is growing as well. So there you may have some kind of tension in the future.
But is there at the moment tension between the Muslim and Catholic communities or not that you're aware of?
Not very open. You have this mentality where the Muslims say, oh, yes, the Christians drink alcohol and they don't pray. And the others say, oh, yes, the Muslims, oh, they are polygams and things like that. And they say, well, yeah.
So they have the stereotypes.
Stereotypes about. But that's all. And for the rest, in a town like N'Djamena, where you have half and a half, they live together and they work together, so no problem.
And is the Catholic Church quite active, despite, you know, the fact that it is a small percentage in terms of social work, you know, helping the poor?
Yeah. The big, big thing of the Catholic Church in Chad, and I think in many other countries in Africa, is education. Catholic education has got a very, very good, a very high reputation. The best schools come from the Catholic Church, from the religious congregations, and things like that. And this is that way the Catholic Church, well, can grow. Then you have this Catholic liturgy, which is, okay, this question of praying by dancing and so on, and choirs and music. The charismatic church, it's in Protestant and Catholic communities, they are growing as well. And they have...
They strike a chord with the people.
They're very dynamic, yes.
I was speaking to Father Thierbide, who has been working in Chad for the Jesuit Refugee Services.